Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Adam Schefter with us yesterday. It's WEEI Afternoons. Arkin Hart here with you until 6 p.m. Nice to have you with us today. Happy Halloween. Happy Yankee Elimination Day. And we are only four days away from a trade deadline in the NFL, which is coming up here very soon. Is that right? Do I have that right? The 5th?
Whatever Tuesday is. So yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah,
Only thing going on that day is Schefter reminded us yesterday. Nothing else happening.
He also kind of got snooty with you there.
A little bit of snoot there.
I don't know if any teams that are just giving away good young players.
Right. Or what are they going to say? What are they going to say? Oh, I'm not going to try and help the team out. Sometimes the teams don't say anything.
Right.
Sometimes they don't mention anything, especially when you're 2-6 and you're probably going to be selling off pieces and you've already started doing that, by the way. That's generally the teams that aren't going or leaking to Jacina Anderson or however she got that report. Oh, by the way, we're going to try and add a wide receiver and defensive tackle and offensive tackle and all these different places.
Yeah.
Teams that are 2-6 don't often do that. That was the premise of the question, but yeah, of course they are. Why wouldn't they? I think that there's a lot of tips. Bill Barnwell today in ESPN talked about the trade deadline, and Patriots were one of the 6 or 7 obvious sellers that he had listed there. And I think that everybody other than Andy Hart and Jacina Anderson in the spin zone basically looking at them that way too. Now, someone else has joined this fight, and that's Andrew Callahan over at the Boston Herald, obviously a big fan of the spin zone as well, I'd imagine. And he writes this. He says, like most rebuilding teams, the Patriots have a game plan for Tuesday's trade deadline that can be summed up by a single word. Sell. Sell, sell, sell. But whom and for what? The easy answer is deal older veterans for future draft picks that can fill out their long-term vision. But over the last few weeks, the third question has complicated the Patriots' calculation. How much locker room leadership can they afford to lose? We've talked about this. We've gone over this a lot. We talk to Jonathan Jones every single week. He's the poster child for that, for a veteran at a premium position that is not likely to be part of the future here in New England and who has still got something left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly those kind of guys. And the Patriots don't have a ton of guys like that, but he's one of them. Callahan goes on. Cracks in Gerard Mayo's culture began surfacing after the Pats' lopsided loss in London. Like most of the Patriots' original captains, Juwan Bentley is out of the picture. David Andrews suffered long-term season-ending injuries. Brissett lost his starting job, which he now has back. Jabril Peppers remains away from the team on the commissioner's exempt list. And I added that thing about Brissett. He might not have it back. I guess we'll see, and we'll get to that in a little bit, too. Veterans like Jonathan Jones, Patriots' most valuable trade chip. Jones is the team's longest tenured defender and a company man. The 31-year-old is the only adult in a position room of young corners, something that can also be said of Kendrick Bourne and the Patriots receivers. So he talks about that. He talks about a couple other guys here. And then it gets down to it. Okay, the consideration of trades. Here are 4 fake trades for the Patriots ahead of Tuesday's deadline. Here's what Callahan has. Kendrick Bourne and a 2025 7th-round pick to the Niners for a 2026 5th-round pick. You basically get a 6th-round pick, right? Because it's a swap. You're trading a 7th for a 5th, so let's cut the difference there and call it a 6th, as you're losing a 7th. But you are getting a 5th. You're losing Kendrick Bourne. It'll be not next draft, but the draft after that.
Yeah.
49ers definitely need some help at wide receiver. We all know that. That's the first one. Then there's K.J. Osborne and a 7th-round pick to the Chargers for a 6th. Would you do that?
Yes. I would not do the
7th for a 6th.
You
wouldn't do Bourne.
Okay. Because I think Bourne is mediocre enough that I think he can be valuable to you
and delayed gratification on another pick. You signed him. It's not like Uche you're going to lose, whatever, right, or don't even like. Now there's little rumblings that he was not taking to coaching. He was kind of going off script and being one of those selfish guys people were talking about. So that's great. That's addition by subtraction. At the very least, it's a wash. Kendrick Bourne, you're giving something up, and I don't like that trade at all. KJ Osborne, I think, is addition by subtraction, wash, bye-bye.
Yeah, you lose a seventh, but you get a sixth back from the Chargers, is who Callahan had his thing with. And then there's this one. Patriots trade Jonathan Jones to the Vikings for a 2026 sixth-round pick. I don't know how accurate any of this is.
2026?
A 2026 sixth-round pick.
For Jonathan Jones?
For Jonathan Jones.
Hell no.
I would think you could get more than that for him. But let's just say this is accurate.
2026? You're talking
about, yeah,
sixth round pick.
Yeah.
For a guy that I think can play corner for most teams in this league.
He's not having a great year.
He's not having, but yeah. I think most teams don't go three or four deep at corner. He can play for a lot of teams.
He can, but he's also a rental.
Also plays a little safety.
Yeah.
He
is a rental, though. I mean, he's 31.
That's 2 years
have to
away
resign.
In the sixth round? That's going to be a hell of a 2026 draft.
I know. Well, you're going to be picking a lot at the back end of it. That's for sure. And that's sort of the point.
Who's making the picks at that point?
That's a good question, too. But really, I think that's kind of the point here, is that all of your veteran talent, at most, is going to net you a couple of sixes and maybe a fifth. Let's just say he's underestimating what you get from Jonathan Jones, and the best you can get is like a fifth or a fourth or something like that. That's it. You know, that's really all you're talking about. You're not talking about any day one stuff. You're not talking about any third round stuff. You're talking about fifth, maybe sixth and seventh, and that's more realistic. And that's what a tear down would look like here. That's what it would look like if the Patriots really go into full sell mode. You're selling off guys like that, and you're getting back things like sixth round picks.
Yeah, if Elliott Wolf makes those deals, Bourne for a 2026 pick, Jonathan Jones for a 2026 pick, he's got balls of steel, because that's a legit long-term plan that he's undertaking. Because I think there's a very good chance, if things don't go well next April, he will never make it to that April, that draft in
2026. Someone else is going to be making all those sixth-round picks.
So I would give him some credit for confidence. And
the next GM's going to come in and be like, what's with all the sixth-round picks we have?
Exactly. Yeah,
where'd all these come from?
I think that would be nuts. If these were moved up more 1 year, if you said you got a fifth and a sixth or whatever this coming year, and you're just flat out loading up, you want all the picks you can get. You've also realized you're falling down the draft, and you might have to trade up, and these are extras to throw into trades. That's fine, but no, I don't like those deals.
Callahan also had this. Patriots trade a 2025 fifth-round pick to the Commanders for defensive back Emmanuel Forbes, who's in his second year, and a 2025 sixth-round pick. And he goes on to explain, if you don't know anything about Emmanuel Forbes, he was a first-round pick last year. He's fallen fast from a playmaking prospect to a bust in Washington. Despite a regime change in the offseason, Forbes remains buried on the depth chart and has barely played 100 snaps on defense. He also rated as one of the worst corners in football last year as a rookie, but his best game came in Foxborough last November when he broke up three passes and allowed two catches on seven targets in a 20-17 Washington win. In person, performances tend to leave an impression on front offices in New England. Forbes could put his 6'1 frame and 4'3 speed to better use with the Patriots' man-to-man scheme. It's a buy-low opportunity for the Patriots, who otherwise have a host of smaller corners around Gonzalez, the only proven starter not named Jonathan Jones. Roll the dice, make the call. That, according to Andrew Callahan. Now, I don't think a lot of people, Patriots fans out there, had Emmanuel Forbes on their list as targets at the trade deadline. But these are the kind of moves that I think you have to start looking at and thinking about and really going for. Like, we all were disappointed in the preseason when they said, hey, here come the undrafted, you know, the guys who get cut. We're going to go real hard on the waiver wire and sort of pull guys off the scrap heap. And they did, and it didn't really amount to anything. But they did go hard and grab a bunch of guys, Demontre Jacobs and some of the other O-linemen that they've cycled through here. This is kind of the equivalent of that. You're making trades, but you're trading for guys buried on the depth chart, guys who aren't really breaking through. You're not going to be trading for any other team's starters, I don't think. This is Emmanuel Forbes. Like, I'm with Callahan. I think that's exactly the type of move, if any moves get made, to add to the team that you're going to be seeing.
Well, it's a Belichickian move. It's a former first-round pick that's fallen out of favor. Maybe they had good scouting grades on him. Remember, he went one pick ahead of Gonzalez, right? Didn't he go one pick ahead of him?
Is that right? Yeah.
I think Washington took him one pick ahead of where you took Christian Gonzalez. And also remember, he's listed at 180. I don't believe it. I believe at the combine he was like 165 or 167 pounds. He is
skinny
a
fella.
Skinny, skinny. He made a lot of plays in college. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked him other than the frame coming out. So I don't hate this. What did
you're right. He went right before Gonzalez.
Yeah, it was one pick 16th, before. Yep. They played that like a fiddle. One of the best last things Bill ever did here was the way he worked it to get Christian Gonzalez that year. But I would take a flyer on him. The size I think is concerning, but he's not a first round pick for you. Now he's just a depth cornerback.
Right.
Hell, maybe he's a depth three free safety. I'm having trouble speaking today.
That's all right.
Free safety, you know, with his length and ability to cover, maybe you use him differently. That's a deal I love. Another one that I had. Are we giving some others, or is we going into the next segment?
No, let's go for it.
So I got Kenyon Green from the Texans as a guard. Was a first round pick who's been benched. First round guard benched a couple years later, same type of pick. If you can ship a day three pick to get him to add depth, talent to your offensive line, figure out where that's going in the future, that's one that I would consider. And then another one that was sort of proposed to me, bigger money guy, Marcus Williams with the Ravens.
Okay.
Free safety has fallen out of favor there and still has a kind of big contract, but he's a true free safety, which the Patriots don't have. And we've talked about maybe that's a glaring need in the back end of this defense. And you have the cap room to take on. I think they want to cut ties now before some more money comes on. And you have the ability to take on a contract from pretty much anybody. I think that was an interesting name that was floated to me.
Yeah, there's some other names out there, guys that I think could, at wide receiver, we were told it's wide receiver, defensive tackle, and offensive tackle. I went down looking at some of the depth charts and just seeing who was there and if there was any names that jumped out to me. There were a few, like Jake Bobo, the pride of Belmont Hill in Seattle there. He's buried on that depth chart. Even with that injury to Metcalf right now, he still doesn't see the field that much. Tyler Johnson, who played with Brady in Tampa Bay, he's buried deep in that Rams depth chart. Malik Heath, same thing. He's Packers have a ton of wide receivers. They have a bunch of guys who don't play. So him, Heath, Dontavian Wicks, who dropped a few balls this year, but is, I think, a pretty good athlete.
Fit right in.
Tyler Scott in Chicago, buried there. Brian will tell you more about that probably. And Trent Irwin, that the guy in the Bengals who killed you last year, 2 years ago, whatever that was. So those are some names. But that's that. Those are the type of names I'm looking at. You know, Simi Fehoko in L.A. with the Chargers. Guys who don't get on the field that much. Guys who need a change of scenery. Guys who are young but not too young. Like, I'm talking about guys in their mid-20s who need to get out of whatever situation they're in, and maybe they'll do better in a different system. That's it. You're not rolling the dice on any guaranteed talent. You're taking a risk here. This is all diamond in the rough type stuff.
Yeah,
you're right. This is what Bill used to do.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a risk. It's almost like drafting a player. It's an unknown. There's an uncertainty to it. You're giving up lesser value for a higher upside. So we're not going to talk about people like Chase Young and Cooper Kupp and T. Higgins and those people.
I'm not going to talk about them.
Son!
I mean, I'd like them to join the team. Obviously, I'd like if you trade for them, but I'm not expecting anything like that. I'm expecting those guys to go to the good teams, which is usually what happens at these trade deadlines. Adam Schefter, 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Here's Stiz with what's trending. And when we come back, we'll talk with Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up with what's trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Celtics suffered their first loss of the season last night. They lost to the Pacers 135-132 in Indiana. The Jays combined for 62 points. Tatum put up 37, Brown 25, but it just wasn't enough. Head coach Joe Mazzulla spoke after the game on the loss.
Yeah, I mean, I thought just credit to Indiana. I thought they just outplayed us. I thought we were a step behind and everything. I thought their speed, their pace, they were a step ahead of us. You know, and it wasn't our best night.
Celtics will remain on the road for back-to-back games against the Hornets. First game goes down tomorrow night. Tip-off at 7 p.m. from the Spectrum Center. The Bruins are in Carolina tonight. They're taking on the Hurricanes. Puck drops at 7 p.m. from the Lenovo Center. Jeremy Swayman will get the start in net for your Boston Bruins. Patriots were back. They're back on the practice field today. They continue to get ready for their Week 9 game on the road against the Titans on Sunday. Kickoff at 1 p.m. 13 players were limited during yesterday's practice. That includes quarterback Drake May, who still remains in the concussion protocol. And the Dodgers clinched their 8th title in franchise history after they beat the Yankees 7-6 last night in the Bronx. Dodgers pitcher Daniel Hudson announced his retirement just minutes after the win, saying, quote, "The only reason I came back was to go out on top." Trending brought to you by Jackson Lumber. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber in Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoon show at Arcan and Hart, including Tom Curran, coming up.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Next.
Drake May is still in the protocol. However, there's an update earlier today, which came to us from Mike Reese about this very thing. According to Reese, Drake May practiced again today as the starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And is now in the next step in the protocol, is advancing through the protocol.
I told you.
And may play this weekend.
Told you. Jacoby Brissett was the one who let the cat out the bag when he's like, it just means I have to wait 30 minutes before I get to practice because I'm the backup again.
Yes. The Drake May sighting, he took another step forward in the NFL's concussion protocol. I guess he wasn't there in the media portion on Tuesday. And he was there today, or he was there yesterday, maybe. I'm not sure exactly which one he wasn't there for. But either way, he's out there. He's progressing through the protocol. There's a chance that he plays this weekend. And listen, I'm not sure how you square the idea of, well, guys got to practice and they got to be ready to go and all that stuff. And then you have Drake May only practice for a half an hour yesterday. And we don't know how many reps he's taken today, but as you go through the protocol, it's still limited, right? Aren't you still limited in the step four?
Yeah.
So it won't be a full practice. And then there's the walkthrough on tomorrow, and then that's it. And then all of a sudden, here it is, Tennessee Titans. Jacoby Brissett's going to get most of the reps. Shouldn't he get the start?
If I'm the coach, no. The better player plays. Ramondre Stevenson, didn't he have no reps in play?
Yes, but that's a little bit different. I mean, the reps got split. You know, you're not going to have May go out and run some plays and then Brissett come out and run the others unless somebody gets hurt, and that's what you're worried about. So I guess that's basically all I'm thinking right now. If they think he's completely cleared the protocol, or if they think he never really even had that much of an injury to begin with, and he doesn't think so, and they're all in agreement on that, and the doctors and everybody else are all in agreement on that, it doesn't matter what I or you or anybody
else
thinks about it.
That's how I think this is being handled. Because if it was...
That's kind of what it looks like. That's how they're treating it.
If he had a concussion that they were really concerned or being cautious with, I think it's very simple. You just give Jacoby Brissett all the reps.
Right.
Like, you don't have to give Drake May reps. He can go through the protocol on his own elsewhere. He's taking actual practice reps, which, to me, feels like you want him to play if at all possible. Now, there's layers to this. I know there's even, like, I think Alex Van Pelt mentioned it today, oh, he's getting some testing this morning, and there's some of those things. And even once you get a little contact, then you have to, you know, recover from the contact, make sure you don't wake up the next day with any issues from that, blah, blah, blah. But if you want a guy to play, I think you do it in this way. If you were being overly cautious, I think it would be very easy to just give all the reps to Jacoby Brissett and say, we'll figure out Drake May next week.
It looks like, and this is CBS reporting this, he's taking a step forward on Thursday. He was on the field for the start of practice, led drills for New England. Phase four is club-based non-contact drills, which is seemingly what May was doing on Thursday.
Right.
If he's made his way past phase four, that's in his way of starting again Sunday, is full football activity clearance. That's phase five of the protocol. May will have to be cleared for full contact by the team doctor, and then he must be examined by an independent neurological consultant for final clearance. If he gets that, he can practice in full and will be eligible to play on Sunday. Now, full football activity and clearance sounds good, but Fridays they don't even do that, right? That's not. Don't they just do the walkthroughs on Friday?
I mean, it's not just a walkthrough. It's a lower, lighter practice, red zone and different things.
But not full pad hitting and stuff.
But the quarterback doesn't get hit in practice anyway.
That's true. I mean, that's a good point.
And you can also, and I know this happens in college and it happens in high school, you can create what you need to create. You can create a time period where Drake May has a little contact and the trainer is out there and everybody observes just to, you know, not team related, just to get him through the progression of the protocols, right? Like, so that if you want him, that's where I'm saying if you want him to play and you think he's capable of playing, you can figure out to check off all the boxes, get the doctors, the trainers, whatever you need to do to kind of sign off on the paperwork.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is. This feels like he had, and I don't want to minimize it because I know it's a sensitive topic, a minor whatever, head injury, concussion. Was it a concussion? Was it not a I don't know.
Right.
But it feels like everybody seems to think it's minor and they're working through the procedures to get him back on the field.
Yeah.
I think he's going to play Sunday.
It seems that
That's
way.
That's how it feels.
It seems like he's veering towards that.
And I like that.
If he does play, do you expect him to play any differently?
No.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't at all.
I think he's going to be hesitant to take off and run. I think he's going to be a little bit.
Then he shouldn't play.
Well, maybe not. You know, maybe he shouldn't. But that's what I think. If you're getting him back out there a week later and he was running all over the place for one quarter and then all of a sudden takes his pop at the end, I could see him being more hesitant to take off and do that.
I could see that if he actually had an injury. I don't think he had an injury. He wanted to play at halftime. He's in whatever this weirdness is with concussions and protocols.
Wanting to play doesn't mean you don't have an injury.
No, 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 but if he wants to play, that means he doesn't feel terrible, in my opinion. Because I think he's young, and he's not in that world of Josh Allen or Tom Brady or Ronnie Lott or these guys we've talked about. I think he's a young, modern quarterback. That's the difference with him. He's grown up in the concussion era. High school, college. True. Like, this is a different era. And I, you know, not knowing exactly what was going through his head, if he was, like, seeing five people in the locker room when the doctor was holding up one finger, I think he would treat it differently. I think he had a very minor whatever and is working his way through it. You get the vibe that he wants to play and they want him to play. That's the vibe I get anyway.
Yeah, it seems that way. It seems like that's probably the direction that it's heading
also,
in.
Also, real quick.
The whole thing with the practice, though, I think does kind of matter if someone else is getting the majority of the reps in practice all week long. Right.
I think if they didn't think he was going to play, they wouldn't spend practice reps on him. They'd be spending the bulk of them on Jacoby Brissett. But just an answer to...
Brissett is getting the bulk of them.
Not the first 30 minutes. It's all Drake May. Brissett told us.
Well, how long's practice?
I have an hour and a half.
Okay, so the third other hour, he's the main guy. So
yeah, because he has to be.
But then he's getting the bulk of the reps, Andy. That's the point.
No, no, no. The bulk of the reps is 95% of the reps. Not
he's getting 95%
anything.
Of them in 30 minutes?
No, 95% of the reps is the bulk. It's every rep.
So neither one of them are getting the bulk of the reps.
But oh, Brissett's I don't know the
getting,
exact
Brissett's
breakdown.
Getting more of them.
I mean, we might be back to the 70-30 split or maybe. The whatever it was, 65-35 split. The guy who's not getting reps, despite all the texts we're getting, Hunter Henry was screwing around in a drill yesterday. He wasn't getting reps. Although, I actually thought he looked pretty natural and good taking the snaps and throwing the ball.
He's got a nice little motion
he
there.
He looked I actually put that
he
in the
back. He could play a quarterback in a movie, like, you know, in the
much Aaron better Aiden than movie. Most movies we've seen.
Better than that Tebow guy, yeah.
I also put it in the back of my head and said, worst case scenario when Patriots lose all three quarterbacks, who would play quarterback? The answer for me would be Hunter Henry because he didn't look out of place.
Send him out there. Speaking of guys we can just send right out there, we're joined right now by Tom E. Curran on WEEI Afternoons, and he's brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com and by Drains by James, Eastern Massachusetts' top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Tom E. Curran, how are we doing today?
That was a tremendous segue. Speaking of guys we can just put right out there.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It wasn't the best one I've ever had, but I came up with it right on the top there. Happy Halloween, Tommy. Happy Yankee Elimination Day. It's a high holy day around these parts. How are we doing today?
Everything's perfect. How about you guys?
Doing great. It seems as though Drake May is progressing pretty quickly through this concussion protocol. Any word on if they expect him to play this weekend? Do you expect him to play this weekend?
Just based upon, Christian, the way he's trending, I would kind of expect him to play using Brock Purdy, who suffered a concussion earlier this year, kind of as a guide. He sustained it on a Monday night, and I think he was ready to go on a Sunday, having been cleared on a Saturday. So while May might not be able to take part in all the live reps, say today, and tomorrow's kind of a different day usually around the NFL for teams who are preparing for Sundays. It's more of a special teams day, but I would, and again, it's not really even in the hands of the team, so you can't ask anybody and say, do you think he's going to play? It would be hypothesizing because you don't know how he's going to feel. But based upon the trending, I would say more likely than not that he would play, but don't hold me to that.
Would you have, if it were your decision, I know it's not, you're not a doctor or a coach, so it really removes you from the situation, but if it were your decision, would you have any trepidation playing him even if he is cleared? Would there be any, oh, I'm going to be extra cautious and not play him for an extra week?
Absolutely not. Put him out there. It's completely out of the hands, and the NFL has designed it that way, as they should, completely out of the hands of anybody who has any conflicts of interest. So when the player is cleared to play, you put him out there. If it was a half-torn groin and people are saying, well, the rest of it might tear and we don't know what's going to happen if that happens, it might be 8 weeks, then I would hesitate. But if he's cleared through the concussion protocol, that's what it's there for, and I'd put him on the field. And honestly, to add on to that, I think the Patriots need to start being of a mind where they're less ambiguous about what their goals are for 2024. And if their goals, they need to start practicing that we are here to win football games. They talked a lot about foundation, and the foundational aspect of this team has to be laid towards being the best team on the field every Sunday that they can possibly be. So if I'm the Patriots and Drake May's cleared to play, I'm going to put my best quarterback out there.
Well, if that's the case, and here's another good segue here for you, Tommy. If you're talking about what this season's going to be and winning games, the trade deadline is next week. This team has been pegged as an obvious seller by guys like Bill Barnwell and anybody else who's doing these trade deadline national stories here. Except for Jacina Anderson and Andy Hart sitting right next to me, who in the spin zone the other day said that the Patriots could very much be buyers here. And we were just going over some of the players that they may be targeting. Is that something you think is realistic? Do you think it's possible here that the Patriots, rather than just having a fire sale of all their veterans, start trying to acquire some young talent this way?
Certainly anybody with time on their contract past this season. You don't want to get anybody who's a rental who expires at the end of the year who has a decision to make on whether or not they want to stick around for the New England rebuild. So I think that you would have to look at guys available who would have time left on their contract. And if I'm a Patriots coach or personnel person right now, I'm looking at players who I look at as being full buy-in guys who want to be here. Like, for instance, take an Adam Thielen. He's in Carolina. He went from Minnesota, which was a good team. He's in Carolina right now. He could be made available. Does Adam Thielen want to re-sign here next year? Does Adam Thielen want to be on a team like this after the age of 30 to, you know, go through the entire rebuild? He just was going through a parallel universe in Carolina. So a player like that, I'd say probably not. So I would imagine that their pool of candidates is probably pretty small. Additionally, to be realistic, whether it's Kendrick Bourne or K.J. Osborne or Devon Godshaw or Jonathan Jones, who I like a great deal, Jonathan Jones, I don't know how the Patriots culture gets better, except for K.J. Osborne, in moving on from those guys. So K.J. Osborne, if somebody wants him, awesome. That's great. And I do think he's a professional player and he's caught up in a little bit of a bait and switch here. But other than that, I wouldn't be a seller necessarily either, just to sell.
So you mentioned a couple of the wide receivers. That was obviously a big talking point in recent weeks. What do you make of where that position is going? Do you think they're going to just trend toward, well, we got to put guys out there and just let them work through it? If Jalen Polk gets healthy and he's going to drop balls, well, he's going to drop balls and we just got to work through it. Do you think that is part of the, because you said they should try to win games, but also there's value in getting these guys out of whatever slumps they're in catching the football?
In Jalen Polk's case, 1,000,000%. What he's doing, as you saw during training camp, Andy, is uncharacteristic. He was not a guy who dropped balls. He was not a guy who you had questions about whether or not he was in the right place at the right time. They showed great faith in him. So I would put him out there and I would pound the football to him and say, just get through it. We're going to keep coming to you. Don't worry about it. You're a good player. You're a second round pick. Because there's a lot invested there. And he should be a good player. So I wouldn't bat an eye. But for the other guys, Kayshon Boutte, as productive as he is, he's probably a third receiver at best. So if he continues to be a pain in the ass, then make a decision on him at the end of the year. Verbally a pain in the ass. He's actually kind of productive, except for the drops last week. But I look at that room, and you wonder if they remain at ground zero from where they were going into this year. Do you still have to look at that room and say, we still have to fix the entire room? DeMario Douglas and Jalen Polk can stay. Bourne can stay through the end of his deal. But we still have to continue adding at that spot in earnest, not just the big-time X receiver, but in earnest all the way through it.
We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy, they got the Titans coming up this weekend. That's a team that had a ton of turnover in the offseason, brought in a lot of guys, traded for guys like Snead, outbid the Patriots for Ridley, really spent a lot of money in the offseason, didn't go just retaining their own players, and end up right in the same position that the Patriots are at 2-6. They didn't go for the quarterback. They ended up drafting a tackle, I want to say, in the first round. But in terms of a team-building perspective, would you consider their offseason a better offseason than the one the Patriots had? Is it a wash? Do you think that there's value in doing it that way versus New England's way? Where do you sort of stand on that?
I'm a big believer in – it's a good question because I've been a big believer in building the team around the quarterback, getting it stable, and then having the quarterback parachute in. But I think with Drake May, and we've talked about this in the past on these calls, his – mental makeup, his physical makeup, his resiliency, his professionalism are all things that I think are stabilizing for the Patriots. He's a better player than Will Levis, and the Titans are going to be right back in the draft looking for a quarterback again. You know, Tennessee and their head coach, Brian Callahan, indicate that, hey, we're close. We're not that far off. It's just special teams and a couple turnovers. And maybe that's the case. Maybe they'll be on a faster track than the Patriots, but you know, I'm a huge fan, and I still believe that if the Patriots traded down, they probably could have gotten a J.J. McCarthy and a Joe Alt, or a Joe Alt and a, you know, Keon Coleman or somebody like that, Xavier Leggett, whoever. They didn't, but I think that in them not doing so, they still got a terrific fit at quarterback for the situation that they're in.
Tom, you just mentioned it. Are you all in on Drake May? Because we actually had a discussion yesterday. Will Levis has been benched, Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and Bryce Young never had success. Richardson, a couple plays. Levis,
a couple good throws.
A couple whatever. At some point, those teams might have felt good about their quarterback for a short period of time, too. But are you just 2.25 games in, kind of all in, that the Patriots have their quarterback?
I feel like I am. Just, again, and it has less to do with the on-field performance, which has been better than expected, and more to do with his flatline, stoic, resilient attitude and the fact that he seems unaffected by the chaos going on around him. And I think that is, it's chaotic right now. You don't know, I mean, is Alex Van Pelt going to be around next year? I mean, that would certainly seem to be in some doubt, given the so far the output of the offense. Not huge doubt. I would presume he's going to be back. But if he's not, could maybe a guy who is resourceful enough and resilient enough to deal with that type of thing. You know, Mac Jones went through 3 offensive coordinators in 3 years, and it gets progressively worse. I think a guy like May is just a good guy to build around. I don't know if he's going to be, you know, a 65% completion guy who can be, you know, 2.5 to 1 TDs to interceptions and will always be productive and make good decisions. But I do think that they have the right quarterback for their situation.
All right, now time for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy Curran, what's the Flex of the Game this Sunday?
The Flex of the Game is that the Detroit Lions, every time they play a football team, they take a chunk out of said team. And last week, the Titans went up against the Lions and they lost 52-14. And I believe the number is 2-8 over the last 10 games. The teams that have played the Lions in their succeeding game have lost 8 of the 10 times. And they've lost every single game this year. So if you're looking at a trend, anybody who plays the Lions gets a bite taken out of them. And they are going to be swimming upstream against the Patriots this weekend because of that.
Ooh. Tommy Curran, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. We'll hear from you on Sunday, Football Sunday on WEEI, and we'll certainly hear you pre- and post-game on NBC Sports Boston. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. See ya.
All right, that's Tommy Curran joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. Quick break. When we come back, Scoops Keefe strikes again. He had another one earlier today, on the Jones and Keefe show, which we'll get to, and it's not great. For Jim Montgomery, that's coming up next.
You were kind of on this, and then after the show, I got word that this is legitimate. Jim Montgomery is on the hot seat. the hot seat.
Mm.
If things don't get turned around.
Uh-oh. Is that a dun?
Uh-oh.
Is that a dun ski? What the hell is that on the screen right now?
Why are we in dresses?
That is disturbing.
Is that some famous horror movie or something?
It's The Shining, Andy. It's the twins from The Shining.
You didn't know what that was?
Oh, The Shining? Is that the one with
Jack Nicholson?
Jack Nicholson in the hotel?
Yep, that's
the one. I've seen that.
Here's Johnny.
Remember that. You don't remember the girls in the hallway?
No.
You don't remember the guy dressed up as a dog doing stuff with that guy?
I always wondered what that was all about.
Yeah, what was that about? Why is that? Like, they were way ahead of the whole furry movement, you know?
Yeah, there's you can go down a rabbit hole on YouTube and Reddit about what the true meaning behind that was, but I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either. Danny riding his big wheel down the hallway, and all of a sudden there's a little girl.
That I remember. That's that.
And you don't remember those girls?
Nope, I remember Danny on the big wheel.
That was that same scene.
Then there's also
going through the hallway.
I have CTE. You don't have to yell at me.
Obviously,
there's also a big conspiracy that whole movie was Stanley Kubrick's secret way of telling you that he faked the moon landing. Danny is wearing an Apollo 13 shirt. There's a bunch of different clues.
The Shining.
Yep.
Was Kubrick telling everybody I faked the moon landing?
Yep. So the room that they're, you know, the room that Danny's not supposed to go in, room 237.
I don't even know what this segment was supposed to be about, but now this is all I care about.
I agree.
Well, the Bruins, Monty being on the Bruins.
Monty, Scoops Keefe is always right. Monty's probably getting fired. Anyway, more about
fired
the Shining.
So
and
Danny,
NASA, please,
Danny, if you look at the shirt, the sweater that Danny's wearing, there's a rocket. It's an Apollo 13 rocket.
Okay. Uh-huh.
The room that Danny's not supposed to go in is room 237.
Mm-hmm.
The moon is 237,000 miles away from Earth, right?
You got any more?
Is it? I don't know that.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Give or take a couple, but it's 237.
It's around there,
I'd have to look up. There's a whole documentary about it.
Really?
It's called Room 237. I recommend it if you're into this kind of stuff. But yeah, supposedly it was Kubrick's way of secretly telling the public that he faked the moon landing with the government.
Interesting.
Yep.
Interesting.
Wow.
I feel like if the moon landing really was faked, so many people would have told us this by now,
oh
right?
Oh, my God.
Don't you think? Like, no one keeps a secret
that
long.
Three people can keep a secret if two of them are dead.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
How many people had to all be in on this and keep this going all this time, and no one ever cracked, really? No one ever cracked about the moon landing? I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time believing that. But I'll tell you what, the moon landing does look fake. Like, you watch those videos, they look fake.
Yeah, and we've never been back. I can see. I believe that it was real, but I can see where people get the
We've gone back just with the little cars, and they drive around the car. They don't actually go, you know.
And aren't we going back
people
this
aren't
year?
Going back out there.
Aren't we going back right now?
The new missions, right?
Yeah,
the,
people have gone back. There's been like 12 people on the moon.
12 people went to the moon?
From U.S.?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it was other countries.
That went afterwards.
Russia launched the Sputnik, right? Yeah, that was their thing. I don't know what that was.
That was way before the moon landing.
Before the moon landing,
yeah,
the Sputnik?
Yeah, that was the first satellite ever.
You're just going through the lyrics of We Didn't Start the Fire?
Launch a Russian Sputnik! Everybody's going to the moon! Bah, bah, bah. We didn't start. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, the Boston Bruins, which is what we were initially talking about here, according to Scoops Keefe, who I would trust with any scoop he has. I know people in the Twitch chat were hating on this one. I don't see what you could possibly have to be hating about. The fact that he's hearing, and if he's hearing it, I believe it, if he's hearing that ownership is upset with Jim Montgomery and that this start is unacceptable, first of all, I believe this wholeheartedly. I believe this 100% hook, line, and sinker. I think this is a rock-solid scoop here from Scoops Keefe. And here's the reason why. I talked about this yesterday, the day before, is that this is not the Bruins' business model. The Bruins' business model is get off to a good start, hook the fans in, get them all excited, let them down at the end, get a couple rounds worth, at least one round worth of playoff revenue, and start over the next year and do the same thing all over again and repeat in perpetuity. That's the Bruins' business model. That's what it's been for about 15 years now, with a couple of trips to the Cup Finals mixed in. I mean, that's really been it. Instead, now you're off to a slow start. No. That is not the model. That is not what we do here. We don't get off to slow starts. We run out of gas at the end of the season. We don't start slow. We end slow. You can't do that. You can't have people losing interest early on. You can't have a slow start to the season that doesn't get people excited and want to ride this whole thing to the end, or they eventually get let down. No. That's not what they sell you on. They sell you on hope over at TD Garden with this Bruins team. You're sold a bill of goods. Like, if you follow this team and everything breaks exactly right for them, you could be watching them hoist the cup someday. Not when they start off 4-5-1 or whatever it is that they're off to right now. I believe this scoop 100%. I don't think it's obvious. You know, 4-5-1 for a guy who had two great regular seasons and won a playoff round last year. I don't think that's a guarantee he's going to be on the hot seat, but I believe that this is flying in the face of the Jacobs and their business model, and I think that's a real thing. And I think that's going on right now, and that's why he's on the hot seat.
I think it's very believable because all the circumstantial evidence points to it.
Right.
He's acting, talking, doing things like a guy who's on the hot seat that is desperate, that is trying anything, that is changing his lines. And by all accounts, those lines are going to be changed for the game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I think your guy Geeky is going to be a healthy scratch. Is he one of the guys we were talking about is going to be a healthy scratch?
If it's Geeky, he probably should be. I mean, he hasn't been doing anything.
But the way he's spoken, the way he's acted, is a guy that's under immense pressure. And Keefe said he thinks that it has been passed down, that you're basically coaching for your job, and that in the next couple of weeks it could go. Now, I don't know, did Keefe use the word Dunsky? Is he Dunsky over there if they don't go like 5-0 in their next five games or something?
I don't think he said that exactly, but I think he said if things don't turn around.
Yeah, and I just think that's what you look. You look like a guy that's under that kind of pressure. That we talked about it yesterday. Is it the pressure of the contract? Is it the pressure of the team stinks? Is it the pressure he's been told he could be fighting for his job? And I also think you created this Bruins. You had some doubt coming in. That's why you didn't give him an extension.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't sure. You weren't sure. You were ready to at least consider this, and then they've given you reason to very much consider it right now.
Yeah, looks like it. Jim Montgomery today said that he's splitting up the lines and that he wants to break up the fourth line, split up Kostelec, Beecher, and Koepke, and he wants their work habits to rub off on their teammates. Gross. But that's what he's saying. He wants the work habits to rub off on their line mates. I feel like this never works. This never works when you try and take a good, especially like a fourth line.
Yes.
And you say, all right, I'm going to put you with him. I'm going to put you there. I'm going to put you there. And I want you guys all to play like the fourth liners. Like, right. That never works. That never, ever is the solution.
I think it's unfair to the fourth liners. It's like unfair.
You have
to
one
them.
Thing working on this team. Right. You're going
to
break it up?
No, but you're telling me who I am, who I am.
Yep.
I'm comfortable with who I am. I'm an NHL player, but I'm not a. Now I'm supposed to go make what? Brad Marchand, good?
Yeah.
Dude's like a Hall of Fame talent.
I'm going to go make Elias Lindholm better.
Like, yeah, dude's making okay. $50 million, and I'm supposed to make him good? Like, how is that my... That's your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my job. I'm supposed to show those guys how to work and do the right thing and not stress out and, you know, hold the stick too tight and hold on to the puck too long?
Kostelec's been great this year. They're putting him with Lindholm and Marchand. As if he's going to elevate those guys. Like, you know, that
makes
to
no
me,
sense.
That, to me, is... Really, you're out of answers. This is the last resort. What are we going to do? Let's break up that fourth line and hope that they make Lindholm and Marchand better, or that they make Pasternak better with Zacha. Beecher's with Zacha and Pasternak. Like, this is what you're doing right now. Matt Patras centering a line with Trent Frederick and Brageau. Charlie Coyle is going with Koepke and Max Jones. And that's what the new lines are. We saw a hint of this yesterday at the practice lines. It's similar to that. Not exactly the same, but similar to that. And this is what Montgomery says. Our fourth line has been the best line, if you want to call it a fourth line. The message to those three was you guys are being split up to help the other guys be better, not for you to become skill players. Like, duh. But also, they've been your better skill players this year. Like, that's what they've done on the fourth line, going up against the other team's checking lines. That's where they've excelled. That's where they've been able to establish themselves. Now you're just kind of mixing it all up again, and maybe it'll work. Hey, listen, maybe I'm completely wrong, and those guys are going to go out there and tear it up tonight against Carolina, who historically have not had an easy time with. But I'm not feeling great about that. This sort of seems like a half-court heave at the buzzer trying to
100%.
That's what it comes off
and
as.
Not a Peyton Pritchard half-court heave.
No.
Like a Christian Arcand half-court heave. That's not going to go in. And I did look it up. According to Fluto, Geeky is expected to be a healthy scratch tonight.
Yep. Not surprised. He's been rough. It's been a rough start to the year for a lot of guys. And a lot of guys who, by the way, aren't getting benched. Guys like Zacha. Guys who haven't been able to get their game going so far. Guys like Marchand. You know, like, can't bench everybody. So they're just trying to split it up now with new fourth liners moving up and down the roster. And now maybe they come up with something here. I don't think it can get much, much worse than a shutout at home to the Flyers, but I guess we'll see tonight. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we come back, the Boston Celtics lost their first game of the season last night, It was a shock to me. They did mount an impressive comeback, but came up short. We'll dig into why, and we'll look ahead to their next couple of games right after this.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.